Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mike Fouché in studio. It is Wednesday. That means he's here.
It's Wednesday, which is Mike Fouché Day.
Mike Fouché Day.
It's so great.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming in, Mike. Hey. Of course, does Daily Line at dailyline.net. Also, the Alder Track podcast is done by Daily Line. It comes out on Fridays, WGN Plus.
We're recording it this week here at WGN. It's going to be great.
Oh, that's great.
Everyone should listen. Yeah, we're going to be talking about why is Chicago having so many problems in Springfield.
Well, do I get to be in? I'm not involved?
No, you're not interested. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's just a real bummer.
Yeah.
I give you your big break, and then you just take off, and I'm out. I could have added so much pepper. I would add so much pepper.
You would.
To that. I so bet. Much spice.
I know.
All right, let's talk. I mean, why don't we start with Comey? Not really a Chicago story, a Springfield story, but I would say, you know, there are some players that have some Illinois interest involved in this story. And also, I mean, how does it play out in Illinois? People are watching.
Everything's grinding to a halt. I mean, honestly, everybody that I've talked to in politics, they have got 9 a.m. tomorrow morning blocked off. I mean, this is what they're going to be watching. This is what they're going to be paying attention to. Because, I mean, this is it, right? I mean, essentially, what happens with Comey is going to probably decide a lot of what happens with the Trump administration and also Congress. I mean, you know, there is this continued resistance among Republicans in Congress to address the issue of Comey and the Russia investigation, and there's a ton of voters that are watching and paying attention to this, and there's a lot of Republican congressmen.
Do you believe, Mike, that the idea that this is getting so much attention, that you know, there's even like a pop cultural element of people opening bars early to have people?
Yeah, there are.
I mean, do you believe that the Congress watches that and says, "Oh, the American taxpayers, the people, they are interested in this story"?
I think congressmen are freaked out with a capital F. I mean, this is, or maybe PH, I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be a really big deal because Comey has absolute total 1,000% credibility. And he was taking notes while he was having these meetings. And, you know, those contemporaneous notes are admissible evidence if there was a criminal trial. And essentially, he is demonstrating explicitly from what we've seen of the written testimony that was released already that he felt like Trump was attempting to put him into, and he used this word, a patronage situation. So, I mean, that is completely 1,000% not illegal, but really, really unethical.
Well, I asked the question. I mean, when you mentioned criminal, I mean, are people assuming that they're going to get information that will lead to this being something, a bombshell criminal, or is it just voyeur, the idea that we get to peek behind closed doors and see how Trump you know, talks to the FBI directors and others in this case?
Well, I think that what Comey does is that he provides absolutely incontrovertible evidence that Trump was attempting to shut down the investigation into Russia's influence on his campaign and his organization. Now, what's still missing is, well, what does Trump have to lose by anybody knowing that Russia has any influence? Well, there's this thing that we still haven't opened up, which is his tax records. And his tax records could show whether or not who was doing lending to him.
Financial interest.
And
right.
There's a lot of evidence, there's a lot of discussion that the Russians, in fact, his son said as much, that they borrowed a lot of money from Russian banks controlled by Putin. So Congress actually has the ability to request his IRS tax returns and open them. Republicans in Congress have said up to this point that they won't.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of what happens with the Trump administration, when we think about it locally, we've seen two stories that I thought were pretty locally connected. One, Republicans and Democrats urging Governor Rauner to get into the health care fight about overhauling Medicaid and the concept of what's going to happen in the Senate. They want the governor, because up to this point, he's been mum. He hasn't gone against, but he's also
Governor
said,
Rauner.
Yeah, Governor Rauner. He hasn't really been favorable of what's happening in that. Plus, we see with the climate change business with the Paris Accords today, Mayor Emanuel saying, "We're as a city going to continue to do this." You know, I mean, you are seeing some. I mean, it's interesting to see how Illinois and the city of Chicago are sort of interpreting and moving on some of the big ticket items in Washington.
So, I've said this before. I served in the Clinton administration. I was a staffer, and I ended up working in the Secretary's office of the U.S. Department of Energy. And I remember very, very clearly when the Starr report was released in 1998 and or 99. And when the Star Report came out, everyone remembers that's with the cigar and all that other stuff.
Monica Lewinsky,
dress,
right,
and Monica,
right,
Lewinsky. Right. It pretty much I remember reading the report and thinking, wow, we're not going to be able to do anything more in the Clinton administration. It's all over. At this point, we're just hanging out. And, you know, people who had joined the Clinton administration thinking that they were going to make America a better place were really, really depressed. I was depressed. And so really, essentially, what's happening here with this Comey testimony, if it follows the path that was set up by his written testimony, is that it's basically going to make the entire Trump administration grind to a halt. There is no saving it at this point.
And there's obviously a political part of that, but there's also administrative part of that, that, you know, because of the shadow and the clouds that are over it, it becomes a lot harder for an agenda, get a risky agenda, yeah, something that's going to reform American government. It's hard to do that stuff when you're constantly dodging investigation.
Well, and that your credibility is shot and that Trump won't follow the advice of anybody. And he keeps throwing his staffers under the bus. I mean, there's a whole series of things that make it difficult for him to attract good people and do good things.
All right, let's move off of Comey. We'll take a break here and we'll come back. I want to talk about police reform. We had the FOP union president, Kevin Graham, in here not too long ago. And I know you've talked to him as well. And he kind of talked away from the consent decree. And we saw this week a very interesting way that
Kevin
that Emanuel went about police reform. So we'll talk about that. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line and the Aldercast podcast in studio, as he is every Wednesday night. Stay with us. Mike Fouché, The Daily Line in studio. We're talking about politics as we do every Wednesday night, usually local. We just spent a little bit of time on Comey because that's what everybody wants
to talk about.
I loved the story, and I think it's a really important story about Mayor Emanuel's deal with the Justice Department over police reform. We got the Department of Justice scathing report. We said it was going to a consent decree, which was with a judge. And they have shifted course. This, of course, all after the Laquan McDonald incident and everything that happened that he promised the taxpayers and the citizens of Chicago.
Yeah.
Where are we at on this? I mean, is it cowardice on the mayor to not go the full to go after consent decree, or is it actual political maneuvering and strategy?
The politics on this is just tectonic. I mean, on the one hand, you have the black community, which has been demanding increased police reform. And actually, yesterday, when the mayor was doing this 125 years of the L, a whole bunch of people, a bunch of teenagers, started protesting, yelling out 16 shots and a cover-up, ruining his event. So, you know, this is not going away, you know, that kind of protest and that protest element. And then on the other hand, the mayor is about to start negotiating
the police contract.
Yeah. And a lot of the people who are police officers and their families live on the northwest and southwest sides of Chicago, which are pretty much a voting block. They call them the old ethnics and those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was an area that he really had to work hard for in the last election. And so he needs to be able to get this police contract through, and he doesn't have a whole lot to negotiate for the police
contract. And then you add the third part about it is the Department of Justice is now under new management, if you will, with a new attorney general who has come out and said they don't believe in consent decrees. They think that that's all hogwash, and they do it differently. So there's a good chance that he would have gone through all this, and the Department of Justice said, we're not doing that.
Yeah, you know, I don't buy it. I mean, I think that if he jumped up and down and said, the Department of Justice won't give us a consent decree that we want, they would have said, okay, fine, we'll give you a consent decree. But I mean, I think this is more than anything about local. I think that he is trying to line up some stuff in the northwest and southwest side communities so that they'll remember him. They don't want more police reform. And he has almost bupkis to negotiate with the police department, with the police officers. You know, he needs to get more stringent management of police officers on a number of different issues in the contract. And in the past, the way that they've done it is the police have said, sure, we'll give you some of those things that you want.
What are you going to give us?
If you give us more pay.
Right.
And the city doesn't have money for pay.
Is it the independent monitor that they're talking about taking over the police department?
That wouldn't be happening. Wouldn't be taking over the police department.
Sorry, I used the wrong word there.
That's important because that has happened in other places.
What do you say?
The independent monitor would be watching, would be checking in.
Hanging out.
Yeah, pretty much. and wouldn't have authority in order to make changes.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask. I had on my sheet the question, like, does that mean the superintendent's out? But it's not.
In other cities, that's happened. Yeah, you know, right. An independent monitor in I think in Cincinnati and also in New Orleans, when they had consent decrees, the independent monitor, I think in New Orleans, the independent monitor actually had the power to make changes to the police department. Hmm. So it's different in every different place. Here in Chicago, you're basically going to have a person that's going to be, okay, you know, there's this thing, great. You know, it's basically a report with a binder.
Wow. Not exactly what people were calling for, but as you said, probably the best case scenario for the rank and file Chicago police who were hoping that there wouldn't be a full-on police reform.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Great story. This other great story this week, Chris Kennedy really pushing this as a gubernatorial candidate about property tax assessments and the strange way that the rich in this area can appeal taxes and, right. and not pay their fair share. This was called out by Chris Kennedy in a surprising manner because he's a millionaire.
Well, he's been the benefit of a lot of property tax stuff.
And the Tribune, this is really a Tribune's move. But this is a big thing because this is how we've kind of, I mean, even in a way, I think about it, I'm like, Mayor Emanuel, when property taxes went up big time last year, there was kind of a wink and a nod like, well, you can always, you know, you can change the assessment.
Well, the Trib released a huge story yesterday where they went through years and years and years of property tax assessments and also appeals and found that there is a broad disparity between wealthier neighborhoods in Cook County versus poorer neighborhoods and communities in Cook County, that wealthier neighborhoods tend to get appeal and then have their assessments lower, whereas poorer neighborhoods, they don't make the appeals and they tend to have higher assessments.
A lot of it
on the dollar.
I mean, you and I know that. I know this from living in Chicago, not even from being a journalist, but just living in Chicago. That if you got the right lawyer, you can get anything done.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of lawyers that specialize in this, and it costs money to hire them.
I don't know about you. I get a letter in the mail every 6 months saying, "Would you like to appeal your property taxes?" You know, from some attorney. And the truth is that this ends up so that the poor people in Chicago are paying on the dollar for more of their houses on their property than well-to-do people in Cook County. And, you know, if you've worked in politics in Chicago, if, you know, you've been around this sort of thing, you've heard about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But actually what you've really heard a lot more about is commercial properties, because commercial properties, the big commercial properties. And this is why it's so funny. Chris Kennedy, he used to own and manage Merchandise Mart.
The biggest property in the world.
And now he owns these other buildings that are right next to Merchandise Mart on Wolf Point. So he has really been a beneficiary of a lot of these appeals. And the large commercial properties have always gotten these fantastic appeals on a regular basis. And who are the people that are doing the representing? Well, it turns out that House Speaker Mike Madigan has a firm that does this sort of stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
I have a friend who manages a number of properties, and she actually got a phone call from Speaker Madigan saying, would you like to be represented in my firm?
Mike, I may be a talk show host. Don't know much about the city we live in, but
Ten-gallon hat come from?
If you're a state legislator who deals with property taxes and what the rate is, and your side gig is to how to appeal those taxes so you're going to pay much, that seems like an abhorrent conflict of interest.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what else to tell you.
Right?
It is. And
so does Chris Kennedy have a point? Do you think that anything has to change, has to go through the Constitution, has to go through so much, right, to make it happen?
The Illinois Constitution
there's no way that anyone down there is going to do anything.
The Illinois Constitution has to be rewritten. And you know who was one of the main writers of the Illinois Constitution? Michael Madigan. And when we had a decision about whether or not to consider the Illinois Constitution, I think in 2014 it was, there, Mike Madigan led the campaign in order to keep it from being reopened. You know, so I think that, Mike Madigan is at the center of a lot of this. And, you know, it's a problem.
Wow. Mike Fouché, thedailyline.net. You can also check him out on the Alder Track podcast and WGN.
The Aldercast. Listen to us this Friday.
Comes out Friday. Mike, great to see you. Thanks for coming in, bud.
Great to be here.